I'd appreciate your prayer.
Yeah.
I'd like to draw our attention a little bit tonight about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't like things that don't work. And I've run into a lot of things that don't work.
Right.
You get sometimes they'll advertise a certain thing to, this is what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, you'll get in mind that this is what's supposed to happen, and then you get it, and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And I just don't like things that don't work.
Yeah.
And I'm that way with, I'm not impressed with religion. I want to tell you right off, I'm not impressed with religion.
Right.
I am impressed with the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
But what we have has to work.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. It has to work.
Yes.
If I incorporate something in my life, I always ask myself this question: how am I different after putting it in my life? Because it should make a difference. Faith should make a difference.
Amen.
If I say that I have faith in God, but it doesn't make any difference, then what do I have? I have to say that about everything, and I asked you to look at it the same way about the things of God. If you say, I have the grace of God, then how are you different from having the grace of God than you are without it? That has to be a difference.
Amen.
If you said, I have the Spirit of the Lord, well, then you should be different than what she was without the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
There has to be something dynamic
yes.
about it. And it's I want to think about faith because faith has to make a difference.
Right.
It's got to make a difference in our life. We should do things differently than we would if we didn't have faith.
Yeah.
Faith ought to change things about us. We should have, I'll say, we should have more peace in our life, I believe, if we have faith in God.
Amen.
I think we should have more security in our lives if we have more faith in God.
Yes.
I would say that we should be a wholer person and better around, more equipped from having faith than not having it.
Yes.
It ought to make a difference enough that we can look and see and say, hey, there's a difference in my life because I got faith. I should go places and not go places, and I should step into places and not think, and I should do things that I wouldn't otherwise do because I have faith.
Amen.
Faith ought to change the way I do it.
Right.
Faith would motivate me, if I believe this, then faith would motivate me at times to go to prayer when it wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah. Right.
For why go if I don't believe?
Right.
But if I believe, here is a monumental thing, and all of a sudden I'm faced with it, and I believe in the power of prayer, then what am I going to do? I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
So it's going to make a difference. Having faith is going to make a difference.
Yes.
You know, we have a lot of things that we do in life we don't think about, but we're already programmed to know that it doesn't necessarily have to happen, but we believe that it will. We don't think about it. But if I go in to wash my hands and I turn the spigot on, I'm going to expect, without thinking about it, I'm going to make that action with the expectation water going to come out of the spigot.
That's right.
And I get ready to leave here, I'm going to put some keys in the switch with the expectation if I turn the switch, the car will start.
Right.
And I've seen times that I so expected it, and when it didn't happen, I just kept turning it. Because, I mean, it's supposed to happen. There's got to be a difference. This has got to be different. There's got to be a difference in this. It's got to start. It's got to run. It's got to work. And if it don't, then there's a problem with it. But I want to suggest to us, of course, we understand this. It makes a big difference. We know it makes a huge difference in our lives. So I want to explore it with the overriding idea of having faith in God.
Yes.
There was a time where Jesus went along and there was a fig tree that didn't have fruit on it.
Right.
You remember the story. Jesus cursed the fig tree. And then they went on, and a short time later, they come back by this fig tree, and the disciples look, and then within that short period of time, the fig tree had dried all the way up from the roots. It was dried completely up and dead, and his disciples so marveled by that they turned to him and said, "How quickly? Amazing! Unbelievable! How fast, how quickly this fig tree dried up." And Jesus' response to them was a very simple response. Have faith in God.
Yes.
Have faith in God. The illustration, I believe, and this is what I've got out of it. It could be a lot of other things in it. But what I got the idea of that about it is that if we need something dried up in our... when there's something in our life that needs dried up, when there's a place in our life and something that is annoying, aggravating, or something that's hindering us, have faith in God.
Yeah.
It looked impossible for it to dry up that quickly.
Right.
Impossible. And God dried it up. Yeah. Just dried it up. Yeah. And so he told him, let this be an establishment place for you to build your faith on, because it needs to make a difference in your life. There's a song, number 284 in our hymnal. I want to pull out just one part of a verse here. It's the virtue of faith, 284. The fourth verse says, the waves around may fiercely roll. This is faith. Listen to faith. This is where it makes a difference. The waves around may fiercely roll. Who can stand in such a place as that? Who could not be concerned? Who can stand against a fiercing rolling? This person said they cannot harm my trusting soul. It just made a difference. See what a difference that made when somebody was faced with the onslaught and they said, this can't hurt my soul. I've already been proven of God. God has already taken care of this. The waves around may fiercely roll. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Listen to this. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. The darkest night and brazen sky are pierced by faith's unfailing eye. What a vision the songwriter had there. Regarding not what I may see.
Yes.
Now here's where the introduction of faith really matters. It's because we have eyes and we look and we see and we understand and we perceive. Not fully. We look through shadows and through shades. We don't see the purposes all the time. And we look through these things and we see the moment. We have intelligence enough to know that, Monday is followed by Tuesday and Tuesday. But we understand the things that follow one another. And if the Lord don't come back, the sun will rise again tomorrow. We understand the pattern of things and we look and we see things with our eyes and we know the next step in its order. We know what these things have proven in the past. This is the way it goes. But the songwriter said, regarding not what I may see, because I'm going to look at it, and it's going to look like this has got to be the pattern. This is the way it goes. Old Gavel's always in those kind of things. He's saying, look here, look here, look over here, look at this situation. What can possibly come good out of this? And at all the same time, the Lord is saying, have faith in God. Have faith in the one that can turn that situation around and make something good out of it for you. The songwriter said, I ain't going to pay attention to that. These things that's coming on, they shall not hurt my trusting soul.
Right.
So let's think about this. Lord, help us. How can I not regard what I see? But the songwriter said, regarding not what I may see, my faith, the Lord is in need. darkest night in praising sky. What a vision of gloom, of despair. You ever been in a time like that? I remember one time at home, Linda and I was already married, and I remember there was a child sick over here and over here, and the old devil was raging and all of those things in the middle of the night and darkest night and brazen sky. I couldn't look through any of it, but this said faith, it's pierced by faith sincerity. There's a vision through that. I don't have a vision through it. The old devil was a raging and the sickness was there and all those things till I finally was just tormented in my brain. You ever been in a kind of place like that? I was regarding the things that I could see, trying to say what happens if the natural course of this follows through, and this could happen and this could happen and it goes far enough and all these things, and I was regarding and regarding and regarding to the point that I just in the middle of the night just heard, "Help! Just help me!" I just screamed out, "Help me!" Yeah. I'm in that kind of place. Regarding not what I may see. My faith, O Lord, ascends to thee. Without faith, what is the end of this troubled world we're in? I mean, what's our destiny in this? Well, I mean, honestly, look at it and see what's going on in our country. I mean, I can say, Lord, all this is going on. I know it's in your hands. Then I look at this sins of this country. I look at the going away from the fear of God. I see the wickedness and the evil of this world, and I say, how's God going to bless that? Lord, have mercy here. Faith in God. Oh, God can work. God's in control of all these situations. What if Joseph had regarded what he saw? What hope could he have had? How could he have had his sane mind? How could he have done it? They did this wicked to him. How could he see to the end of this? You know, we don't have to know what the answer is. We rarely will know what the answer is. But we can have faith in God for what he's going to do for us. Because if we begin to regard what we see, we're going to be like old Peter when he walked on the water. And he had his eyes on the Lord, and his question was a question of faith. Was it not faith involved in Peter's question? Lord, bid me to come to you. Was it not some faith? He had faith, didn't he? He had faith enough to ask him, let me walk on the water. Let me bid me to come to you. Come, Peter. Got faith in God to even step out of the boat. I have faith in Jesus. He's out there on the water, and I can walk it too. You know, that's why Jesus came to this world. To give an example for you and I, and what he done, you can do too. Yeah. He walked on these things. You have victory. He won the victory for us. I'm out there. I'm walking on the water. Yeah. A symbol of victory over the things of this world. Yeah. The ragings of this world. The things of this world. What happened to Peter? He started regarding, didn't he? He started regarding, and he said in his mind, who can walk on water? Or look at the sea, it's going to take me over. And he looked around, began to doubt, I can't do this. Oh no, what am I doing? He began to sink because he looked away from the Lord. He started regarding the things around us. We can look at the circumstances around us. And insanely, I'm not saying being foolish. I'm saying look at it rationally sometimes. And you were in trouble. Rationally, we're in trouble. But not by faith. Because faith can see through the darkest night and brazen sky. It can pierce that and be able to see God's purposes. It can see through that and see the salvation of our souls. See, all of Christianity would say, if you was to take a poll, and I'm sure everybody even here would say it, I want to go to heaven at any cost. Of course, we know this life was fleeting. Yeah. Of course, if I just I know that what heaven is, and of course we would say, yes, I would give that up to go to heaven. Of course, we would say all those things. Yeah. You know, right in the reality of it, though, we need faith to make a difference in our lives. Yeah. I need to be different than what I would be without it. I need to be able to function with things that I wouldn't do if I didn't have faith. So I want to look at two things tonight. If I was to title this, it wouldn't be faith. I would title it tonight, Giants and Strongholds. There is things, and we all know this, unless you're really a lot more arrogant than I would assume, I would have to say, we all would say, We're going to run into things that are just way bigger than we are.
Right.
I find myself running into the impossibles quite often. I see that there's things that I can't do. Jesus even said that to us in a very sound way. Without me, you can do nothing. You may think you got some control and some things and things, but without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing that you can do.
Right.
But there is things that we happen to in life that we're going to run into, and they're going to be bigger than we are. We're not going to be able to handle them. We're not going to be able to go through those things by ourselves. There's going to be things that no matter how strong you think you are, there are going to be things that's really going to challenge you. There are going to be really things. Peter had the mind at one time, before the introduction of the Holy Ghost, Peter had in his mind that he could do anything for the Lord. He told the Lord, though all may forsake you, I'm not going to forsake you. And one of the passages said, and so said they all. All of them said, I will die with thee, Lord. I am not going to forsake you. And Jesus said to Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And he didn't believe it. There's no way. There's no way that's going to happen. And we're going to have our Peter moments. We're going to have our times. I'm going to need something that's going to make me different than what I'd otherwise be. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Jesus did not allow Peter to have what he needed. He didn't get what he needed. And he failed. He utterly failed. Not to all the way to the end, he didn't. He got something after a while. But he had those moments. So I want to look at this in mind and go to the 13th chapter. I believe it is of Numbers. This is the story. It starts out, the 13th chapter starts out, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So the Lord told Moses, now, he brought them right up to the promised land.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to them, I've given you this land.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what you might think about that, but I think the promises always sounded like the Lord had made a promise and they was going to get this land, and I think they had in their minds, I think they was mistaken in what they thought. I think they thought giving them something meant that they didn't do anything for it. God was going to give it to them if they wanted it.
Right.
Now, last night we heard a message about God, not just being indifferent about God, not just saying I got a little salvation, but God going to give you the kingdom. They got more. I got more for you. I'm going to give you the kingdom. The Lord was saying to them, if you want it with all your heart, if you're willing to go in faith, it's going to take faith. You're going to have faith to do this, because when you look at this, God said, I'm going to give it to you. And it wouldn't have been faith if it had come up there and looked over there and there'd have been a big welcome sign there, welcome, and everybody's name on their house, on their mailbox. Right here's where you go, and right here's where you go. Just settle on in. I already took care of it. God said, I'm going to give it to you. But when they got there, it wasn't no giving it to you. I mean, he was going to give it to them. The promise was true by faith,
yes,
that he was going to give them the promised land by faith. Folks, I'm going to tell you, every inch of spiritual ground you get is going to be by faith. And you're going to make a difference. And you're like, you can't get it any other way. This is the way you got to give it. God promised us these things, and you can have them.
Yes.
If you want them. But standing in front of every bit of this is the enemy standing right in front of it.
Right.
So the Lord said, send some. I'm going to go through this just for sake of time, but we know the story. So Moses sent the men, the leader of each of the tribes. He sent 12 men over, and they went over and spied out the land.
Yeah.
And now they went over, and they looked it over real good. And so the 12, you remember the 12 come back, and two of them speaks up and says, Here's what we saw. Oh, it's a good land. Oh, it's a good land. Prosperous. Fruit. I mean, grapes. You got to pack them on staves. There's pomegranates. And oh, it's just a wonderful land. Flows with milk and honey. Plenty of prosperity. A lot of good stuff there. Let's go get it. He said, but now, the walls are, the city walls, they're thick. Let me get this verse just to bring out that. The 33rd verse says, and there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sights. So, this is what the next bunch said. First one said, we're well able. We're well able to do it. Yeah, the cities are walled. Yes, we're like grasshoppers to these guys. Big guys. I'm going to tell you something about that I learned in life because I've always been a smaller. I got some weight on me now. But I grew up really, really slow. I weighed 89 pounds as a freshman in high school. I was a wee little fella. And I'm going to tell you something that I learned in life. I never intimidated anybody. My presence meant I could walk into a room and nobody cared. It didn't make no difference. Now, I won't embarrass Brother Henry, but Brother Henry's a good-sized fella. I mean, Brother, I ain't saying he's intimidating, but if he wanted to be, he could be. But people that's bigger are intimidating. I mean, it's intimidating. They went over there, and these guys are 10-footers. I mean, these are big guys. I mean, they looked at that, and they regarded it. They regarded it. These guys are their arms. I mean, their arms bigger than my legs. Their heads are that big. I wouldn't want to go up against them people. If the Lord's going to give me this, He's going to have to do something else. I can't do that. They started. These 10 were regarding what they saw without faith. The other ones saw it. The other ones saw the same thing. They didn't deny it. Folks, it's foolishness. It's foolishness to deny the realities of life. It's foolish to say something, I just won't claim that cancer. Don't claim it all you want to, but you still got it. I'm not going to claim that sickness. Well, you claim it. Stick your head in the sand if you want to. I'm telling you, but your faith in God makes a difference. God knows how to take care of all these things. You don't mean that you don't regard it? We got troubles in this world. There ain't no sense in acting like they ain't here. They're here. There's a lot of troubles. But faith will say, don't regard them. Don't regard them. Don't make that the point of your life. Don't make that change what you do. Don't make that intimidate you that you can't say, oh, I'm so intimidated. I better not say nothing here. Say nothing for the Lord or anything. You'll be surprised who might need the Lord right in the middle of that. But people will regard. I regard what it is. See, I always laughed about some of our witnessing. Y'all have mercy on me. I don't mean to be critical, but I always laughed about some of our witness sometimes. We don't have this outreach and all this, and all of a sudden we look and there's somebody dressed like us. Well, let's go get them. Well, they are like us. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes that's not intimidating. That's not intimidating. I can probably say hallelujah and they'll say amen. Let's go get them. What about somebody you say hallelujah and they don't say amen? We're intimidated sometimes. That might be the one. That we regard not what I may see. Lord, help us not to regard these things. And so there's giants over there. And he started regarding the giants. You know the giant, the idea of giants in the Bible means something? It means it's a great big old piece of flesh bigger than you are. It's something that you can't handle. The giants in my world is not you. The giants that I faced in my world have been in me. It's been the things that's too big for me to conquer for myself. That's what this represents. Big old flesh in this. And there's giants in there. And there's giants in the land. And they looked and they regarded it. And what did they do? They rejected the promise of God.
Right.
God promised them this land, led them out of Egypt for it, led them there by a mighty hand, put them there and said, now here is my promise to you right over the river. Here is my promise to you, all of this. And because, faith made a difference, a big difference. Faith is going to say whether you're going to live your life in Canaan or you're going to live the rest of your life wandering around in the wilderness. Faith will make a difference in your life. Faith is going to make a big difference in your life. You want to be wallowing around in the wilderness, just wallowing around, never victory, never have anything? That's a faithless place. No faith over there. But faith says, yes, I see the giants. I know there's things bigger than me. I see the situation. I know there's things bigger than me. That first city we're going to run up against, I see the walls are 4 feet thick and high, and I see all of that. I see it with my eyes, but faith penetrates all of that. God said, here's your land.
Yes.
I have no idea. I'm going to tell a little story. We always learn in our lessons. But this was so, a little bit of a whooping in it even. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I ain't going to say any names. But the other night we was in Guthrie. And I'm pretty tense up about the meeting and ready to go next day, all these things. And anyway, there was a little bit of an accident with our van. I wasn't in the van, and I'm not going to say who was in the van. But there was a little bit of an accident right there at the Guthrie grounds. And some mailboxes was wiped out. Well, now I got a full put mailboxes back up. And the mailboxes was like flattened and knocked off at the ground. And I mean, and I got the next day trying to put that mailboxes back up. And it was disturbing. And brother said something last night that I dropped my head and looked towards the wall when he said it. That he said something about his vehicle and he didn't pray about it. He didn't pray about it. And I thought, yeah, I've been in that. When was that? The only thing I could do is be disturbed about it. That's all I could be, is disturbed about it. Because, I mean, I had to get ready for here. I was thinking about, I'll get up in the morning and trying to get this done and pressure of time and trying to get this done. And it knocked it off. It was concreted in and it knocked it off at the bottom. And I had it, wanted to put it back the way it was and all this. And I was like this. Well, finally, I said, well, I think I know what I'm going to do to fix it. It's going to cost some and it's going to take me some time and all that. And the Lord timed it just right as I was leaving out. Brother Lonnie Miles was coming in. He kind of takes care of things around there. And just happened to be, if you can believe in the happen to be's, he just happened to be pulling in as I was pulling out, and he made a comment to me. He was up here and said, somebody knocked the mailboxes down. I said, Brother Lonnie, I'm going to fix it. We're responsible. I'm going to fix, do that. And he's, Brother Lonnie said, oh, no, brother, don't worry about that. Those things was about to fall anyway. He said, I'm going to redo those anyway. And he said, don't fool to do it. I'll take care of it because I'm going to put them up anyway. I'm really glad Linda prayed about that. But I'll say this. Faith makes a difference.
Yeah.
Faith does make a difference. And you're different from doing it. And I thought, what a wonderful testimony I could be testifying to. Of what God done for me. And I want to testify. God did that, and there's no doubt. I mean, the fact that we were pulling out, he was pulling in, the timing of that, if it hadn't been for that, he wouldn't have said anything about it. I wouldn't have said anything. But God timed this, put this all right. Regarding not, I didn't see that. I couldn't see it. The only thing I could see was what was in front of me. I saw my responsibility. I saw my duty. I saw all that. That's what I saw. I reacted to what I saw with my eyes. The only thing, I could not imagine anything else. You don't have to imagine what it is, folks. All you got to do is believe in God. Have faith in God. It would have been bad. Lord, I could have simply, Brother Eric, it wouldn't have been that hard to have said, Lord, can you help me with this? Whatever it is to do, help me with it and let it be in your hands and your will for what it is. Well, I never done that. Lord, help me. That's a minor thing. There's a lot bigger things coming on us. them knock-down mailboxes.
Yes.
Line upon line. Lord, help us to believe. Yes. Teach us to believe. Help us to have faith in God, because there's going to be giants standing right before us.
Yes.
So Caleb and Joshua saw the giants. They saw the walled cities.
Right.
They saw the strongholds.
Yes.
They saw the giants and the strongholds. How are you going to break through the walls? Well, I don't. How are you going to do it? We don't have big ramrods to bust the doors down. We don't have explosives. I mean, we got to do this, and I don't know how we're going to do it. How are we going to do it? Lord, get up there. The Lord, don't worry about it. God's going to give this by faith. God's going to give this. If we regard the walls, if we regard the giants, if we regard the situations, the storms of life, folks, we're going to be in a shape.
Yeah, true.
We're going to need to have faith in God and regard the Lord in this. God is able to take care of these. So with this story, we know this story, they was penalized greatly for this. Their life was altered by not having faith. God had tried to prove to them all the way back from Egypt, all the way out, I am God. He proved it with the fire. He proved it by the cloud. He proved it by the plagues. He proved it by the Red Sea crossing. He proved it over and over. I am God. I am God. I am God. And they get there and say, we can't do it. And it said, all the children of Israel, they wept all the night. They regarded what they could see. And their hope, you know the scripture says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Do you know what it must have felt like after their generations of being down there in Egypt and coming out and with the anticipation that they're going to have a little place of their own and they're going to be at, you know what? I mean, to talk about a family to family, wife and husband and children, and we're going to plant a garden, we're going to do these things and all this, and we can't wait to do it. And they get there and say, we can't go do it because there's giants over there. Lord, you didn't give us nothing. You didn't give us anything. How many times have you known people that just says, this whole salvation stuff don't work for me? It won't work for you. It won't work for you if you don't get it. But come up to it and say, well, I'm just supposed to be just joyous all the time. I'm not. I'm supposed to have peace. I don't have no peace. I'm supposed to have all this stuff. I don't feel nothing about like that. This ain't worth nothing. Well, wait a minute. But you're on the wrong side of Jordan yet. There's a promise.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a promise over there. Well, I'll go over there. Look at all them big guys over there waiting on me. Temptations and trials and all that over there. And the Lord says, here's your place.
Right.
You come over here and I'll give it to you. But the giants look big, folks. And if you regard them, you'll never go anywhere.
Right.
So there was a young, you can look at this in 1 Samuel 17th chapter. The Philistines had encroached upon Israel. They had a battle pitched, and I think it describes them up in the mountains here, and that they had them over here. And Jesse tells David to go check on the battle and see how his brother's doing. And so he sends him up there. This was none of this by chance. But David goes up there, and he had already took a lion and a bear out, and he had been with the Lord, and he had faith in God. And I believe in my own heart that David was one of those persons that just believed the heritage. He believed the stories of the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and he believed of the crossing of the Red Sea. He believed God had worked in their lives, and God had defended them and been there for them, and who can stand before the armies of the living God? And that's the mind that he went up there with. And yeah, maybe he went up there to say, I'm going to see what God's going to do, because God's going to do something. He gets up there, and when he gets up there, this big giant walks out, and everybody's a-trembling and a-backing up and getting down, and he comes out there with a thunderous voice, and he's loud and he's intimidating. He ain't a little fella like me. If I'd have walked out there, they'd been laughing. He ain't got nothing. He ain't nothing. But this guy was, send me somebody. Come on, somebody fight with me. It was intimidating.
Yeah.
And they all regarded it. They all looked at it only by what they could see, only by what their eyes could perceive. They looked at it and said, this is all it can be. I want to tell you, folks, God can work through diseases, through tribulation, through storms for the salvation of our souls. God can work through it to those prayers that we launch out there, and we don't even know what we're talking about a lot of times. We just know our desire. Lord, I want my family saved. You know what you're asking for. You know what God might do. You regard with your eyes and say, don't let this thing come on them. And the Lord says, you prayed to me. Don't regard this. I've got something for you here. I'm going to bring this to a good place. Hang on. Hang on. I'm God and I'm going to work. So David goes up there, low radio. Oh, everybody out there should have been more willing than David was. They were all, he was a ruddy boy. His brothers were bigger men. Eliab was a big man. Saul was a big man, head above, shoulders above everybody else. And they should have been willing to go there. Why couldn't they? Because the giant's bigger than me. That's the way we look at it. How am I going to fight that guy? I can't fight that guy. Look at it. I'm not willing to do that. And they regarded their eyes.
Yeah.
But David come up there. Does faith make a difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it make a difference?
Yeah.
Can it save a nation?
Yeah.
Can it save a whole army?
Yeah.
Can it give people courage?
Yeah.
One ruddy little boy comes up there and looks at the situation, and somehow he believed all that he had ever heard. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the living God. This God has not turned his back on us. I say to people sometimes, and I'll introduce it to your thinking too, what is Jesus doing when you're in trouble? I visualize in my mind sometimes Stephen being stoned. He looks up and behold Jesus standing. He sits on the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. But he wasn't standing this time, Brother Tavis. He's standing. You know what that means? Alert. Attention. Jesus was standing there. Wasn't going to let one thing happen that wasn't supposed to happen. I got this one. Well, say Stephen was stoned to death. That's right. And he went right to the Lord too. And he made sure nothing intervened in that. Nothing was going to overtake that. He was standing there. I got you. I got you on this. What's the Lord doing in the middle of your trials? He's watching. He's looking by faith. We can say that. You can't say that by what you see with your eyes. You look at these situations and say, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. What's going to happen here in this situation? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't see no good in it. But faith, dark as night and brazen sky, faith can see through that. I can see, you can look through it by faith's unfailing eye. It sees all the way through the darkest night, the brazen sky, the gloom, the hurt, the heartache. It looks all the way through it and say, God's got a purpose in my life.
Yes.
And he's going to fulfill that purpose in my life.
Yes.
Yeah, they saw giants and they didn't go over there. All of the children of the army of the children of Israel,
yes,
the one that had generations of God in their lives, bowed down to a giant. And David simply says, you uncircumcised Philistine. You come with me with sword and spear. But my faith is bringing something else to the battle.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Something, I'm bringing something else to the battle. You're going to have to take on the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm coming in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
You're going to have to take, you fighting me here, you're fighting what you can't see. You're fighting a force that created the universe.
Amen.
You're fighting something else here now. You're fighting something. Oh, I got to do. I don't have to know what the end of the result of it is. I don't have to see the end of the thing. All I got to do is have faith in the one that's got the end of the thing.
Yes.
God knows what he's doing with these things. Lord, help us to stop regarding just all that we got. This is what we see. We're just regarding this. I said this recently to a number of different places. But I really thank God for this. A few years ago, I'll back up. I went full-time in 95. Thanksgiving weekend of 95. I quit my job just before that, and I went full-time in the work of the Lord. Been doing it ever since. And you know, over and over and over, the Lord would call us to go to meetings. And I had children the whole time. And the Lord would call us to go to meetings, and we'd hear, there's flu at Guthrie. There was always flu at Guthrie. I mean, it's like I used to say, somebody said, "What you doing? I'm going to Guthrie to get the flu. We're going to all go get the flu." It's kind of like, this is what you do at Guthrie. Go get the flu. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and God delivers them out of them all. And you know, over and over, oh, chicken pox or somewhere. Here we go. Whooping call. You know this. Over and over and over again. What are we going to do? We're going to meet it. We're going to commit it to the Lord. Wasn't always easy. We're going to commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. What are we going to do this time? Commit it to the Lord, just like last time. Did we not get sick? You know, oh, we got sick. There was sickness. We got sick, sometimes all of us. I remember one time particularly, all six of us was sick at the same time. All of us. Me and my wife, my four children, all of us was sick at the same time. That's not fun. Committed it. Then along comes something called, they called COVID-19. Come along, COVID. What are you going to do? What I've been doing for the last 27 years. Going to commit it to the Lord. I'm going to go and commit it to the Lord. I don't know what else to do with this, but the Lord in all those years was wonderful. Yeah. He helped us all the way through it.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this. There's always wisdom involved in something. But regarding not what I may say, I'm going to give you something. You can't regard the circumstances.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do this one by faith.
Yeah.
Have faith in God. Over in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Oh, probably a lot of people could quote this one. This is a familiar one for sure. 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Boy, we ought to repeat that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Yeah, you're going to go in and you're going to take... You're going to cross there, Joshua, and you're going to run into Jericho. Make sure you got your ramrods ready. Make sure you got your catapults ready. Make sure you got it done. You know, the Lord never was interested in horses and chariots and those things. He said, have faith and confidence in me, and I'll take you through these things. I'll give you victory. You don't have to be the most. You can have victory when you're least. They're great battles. God won them without them even swinging a sword at. All they had to do was follow the Lord. And not regard what they may see. Yeah. There was a time where old Gideon went and he was going to take on this big army and went there with the, I don't know, it was a thousand, and the Lord said, you got too many men.
Yeah.
There's 180,000 of them guys. You got too many. 30,000's too many. You're going to have to cut them down some. Regarding not what you may see, you're going to whip them down a little bit more. How many are you going to get them down to? 300? Lord! 300 guys, what you going to do with 300 guys? You just come on and I'll show you what you can do with 300 guys. You guys ain't going to put out no effort or nothing. I'm going to show you how to get a victory here. Come on. We're going to get a victory in it. Regarding not what I may see, there's no way that few of people can get the victory over that many.
That's right.
There's just no way. But the Lord said there was a way. Come on, I'll show you how to do that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and Lord help us, so many times we get carnal. It's because we regard what we see, and we want to help the Lord out with what He's trying to do. So we get there and help Him out. Lord, I'm going to help you out with this one. I remember somebody said one time, said something about, I said, they told the Lord this. Lord, you let me do it, and I'll straighten them out. Yeah, that's the way we think about it. I got somebody. I'll tell you, Lord, you let me go at it, and I'll get them straightened out. Yeah, well, that's it. You'll just ruin everything. You'll mess everything up. It's like, because the Lord loves them really a lot, and you don't.
Right.
And that's why you're talking like that and thinking like that regarding not what I may see. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They aren't. They're spiritual. We need to keep that in mind. And what do they do? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. Now, what are we talking about? Well, it's typified with Jericho because they didn't do anything but obey the Lord. And he tore down the walls, and it was a stronghold. There's no way they could have penetrated the walls. There's no way they could have done it. But the Lord worked it out for them in a mighty way. Well, what's the strongholds we're talking about here? Whatever it is that's got that hold, that's strong. And in today's society, there's all these addictions and this evil and all of these things, and people have been let go, and the devil's taking advantage of them, and we can look with our eye and regard it. That person could never be saved. They're too far off. They're too far gone. They're too than this. But the Lord said the weapon is our warfare.
Yes.
How mighty are they? I'm going to challenge you. How mighty would you say they are? How mighty is these weapons? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God.
Yes.
To the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
There's a lot of strongholds. Devil's made a lot of inroads, and he's made a lot of strongholds in people's lives.
Yes.
And us beating around on them, let's pull it around on them, pushing them around on them, all those things, is not the answer. The answer is the weapons of our warfare.
Yes.
They're mighty through God. God knows how to penetrate a soul that can be penetrated.
Right.
God knows how to work with them and get them to the place.
Yes.
It's our duty to be there, love them, help them, pray for them, and be there in a place that we can help lead and guide them if the Lord is able to work with them.
Yes.
In that kind of place. Sometimes we just get the idea, well, time's running out. I better get them. I better do something. I'm going to give you another little. I don't mean to take too much time. But my dad was unsaved. He was saved at one point. And he backslid, and he was not saved for years. That was very troublesome to me. Very troublesome. I wanted my dad to be saved. I really wanted him to be saved.
Yes.
And every time I got the chance to want to, I would want to talk to him. I would think over and over, Dad's getting older and older and older. Then he ended up with bladder cancer. Then he was getting older. He's up in his 80s. And I kept saying, oh, how I wanted him to. And I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to do something. You know, I couldn't do it. I tried. It just didn't work. Never worked. Never could get there. Never could get there. Always worried about it. And worried about him being lost and all those things. You know, the Lord had a perfect plan for my dad. And right there, he got my dad right in the place to where he turned his heart to the Lord. And I thought about 15 years of me regarding what I could see. 15 years of me wandering around and being without peace. And I say it's right to carry a burden and all those things. But all that time of me stressing and worrying about that, God brought it right down to a perfect moment for my dad to turn his heart to the Lord. And you want to know something? It didn't have anything to do with me. Nothing. I happened to be there to be the one that was able to help share and pray with him. And I was thinking of how I never done anything. God knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Lord, help us not to regard what we can see. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal,
yes,
but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
This is the weapons of our warfare,
yes,
that brings us to this place. Lord, help us that we'd have faith in God and stop looking and regarding these last days and commotions in the world.
Yes.
The world's getting revved up. All of these things are happening.
Yes.
We could really, really easy imagine some pretty terrible ideas and pretty terrible things. But I want to encourage you something tonight. Don't regard what you're looking at. And get your eyes on the Lord.
Yes.
Get your eyes on the Lord, the one that can take care of all the issues of life.
Yes.
The one that can keep us right in the middle of this. There's nothing that can take us out of his hand. God can fulfill his promise to us right in the middle of this whole world.
Amen.
Just because the nation itself has went away from God, don't mean God's going to forsake the ones that haven't.
Amen.
God promised us as individuals, I'll be with you to the end, even to the end of the world.
Amen.
You be faithful and I'll be faithful to you.
Amen.
You be my people, I'll be your God. I'll help you with all these things. And I just want to think about the scripture in Hebrews. Oh, Hebrews 12. This says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight,
yeah,
And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now I want to talk about the cloud of witnesses just a minute. He just got through with the 11th chapter, giving us this great cloud of witnesses. These ones that was, it goes on and talks about it. And this great cloud of witnesses of those that faith made a difference in their life. They responded and acted different because they believed in God. There was different. There were some of them that wouldn't even accept deliverance. Can you believe such a thing? The deliverance was right there and they wouldn't accept it, that they might have a better resurrection. I'd say that's faith. Their life was altered by faith. Faith changed what they would do. The faithful ones of the Scriptures, life was changed because of faith. They had faith in God. And God gave some wonderful testimonies. There was the testimony of the Apostle Paul, who God arrested on the road to Damascus. And he used that man in his work and that. And faith changed his life. Faith in God. He kept having faith in God. Yeah, he was on a ship. But God told him, you stay with the ship. You know what? If he had regarded it, he'd have bailed, wouldn't he? I mean, everybody else is ready to jump. Not I told him. So I tell you, the Lord, you stay with the ship and you're going to make it. And that faith, going to have some faith here. We'll stay with this ship. I'll ride it all the way in. That's faith. You're going to have some faith in this thing. Then he says, looking unto Jesus. Get your eyes off of the circumstances and get your eyes on the Lord. That's where the victory is at. That's where you can look and see those that have something special. There's something in their lives that just radiates out. Because in the middle of their circumstances, where you expect for somebody to wither, where you expect somebody to falter, they shine.
Yes.
It's because they have faith in God.
Amen.
You can't take from me what I've got.
Right.
You can't take from me what the Lord's given me. You may be able, right in the middle of the time, he said of Peter, Scripture talks about it. He's in prison. They're gonna execute him the next day.
Right.
He falls asleep. Now you tell me faith don't make a difference? He fell asleep. Who's going to sleep? Who can pile? I get something on my mind. I stay up all awake all night. And I'm talking about some seeds in the garden not coming up. I'm talking about this a little water leak in the water hose. I'm not talking about going to die tomorrow. I get this stuff on my mind and wall around with it all night. This, I will tell you, this makes a difference.
Yeah.
Faith makes a difference in people's life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's writing the story, folks, of our faith. He's writing the story of our faith if we'll let him write it.
Yeah.
If we'll stop regarding everything that we see and get our faith in God, he'll write the story of our life. He'll write our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to write it. And there's Apostle Paul, comes down to the end of his life. 2 Timothy 4. I fought a good fight. Was he disturbed? Paul, they're going to take your head off tomorrow. Oh, yeah. They're going to take my head off. I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to set me free. I'm going to call you a friend, Axeman, because you're about to get me out of this miserable world and send me right to Jesus. So you just have at it. You can't hurt me like this. I fought a good fight. I finished the course.
Yes.
I've kept the faith. Thank God.
Yes.
After all I went through, I'm able to come to the end of this and said, Lord, you've been good. Lord, I still believe in you. Lord, I've seen all these things, and I'm here now to testify that God is real. And my faith has proven that he is a risen Savior. I have seen the Lord work in my life, and I'm here to testify to it that I've fought a good fight. I feel like I gave it all, and I fought a good fight. And right in the middle of it, the Lord helped me in all of it. And there was times that you had to regard a snake. I regard that. Old snake bit him on the hand. I regard that. The Lord told me to go. How's this going to be? I remember that, wasn't near to that, but one time we was at Myrtle, Missouri. And I got a tick right there between those fingers. A tick had been in there, and I pulled it off. That was that myrtle. 2 weeks later at Guthrie, there was a big purple ring around there and with a white ring around it. And it looked like it was something. And I said, what is that? It's itching and acting up. And I remembered that tick bit in there. And by the time I got to Holly, I was convinced that the Lord had told me, I want you to go to these meetings. Well, the Lord told me to go. He's going to make me go. I mean, he's going to allow me to go. And that was my faith. Well, got over there in Holly Hill and I got a, I don't know, my temperature was so hot. I was so fevered and breaking out in rash and breaking out in this stuff. And I remember saying, this ain't nothing. God told me to go to the meetings. So I'm going to have to fulfill it. So you better just get the preachers. We're going to pray about this. And the Lord touched that and healed it right quickly. I preached in the mess of meeting and all that. And the Lord, I didn't say to tell you what it is because I don't know how to diagnose that. But I'm going to tell you, it was something. And it made me sick. But regarding not. The search of, yeah, you get a snake on the bat or a poison snake. Got him on your hand? And no need to regard that. Regard them, they're going to whip you and stuff. They're going to whip you, stripe you. They're going to imprison you. They're going to do all that. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. I'm a prisoner. It's Roman. It might be Roman metal on my legs, but it's the God that's got me captive. You can't capture me. God put me right here in this place to witness to the Lord. And I'm not going to regard those Roman leg bands on my legs. I'm not going to regard those kind of things. I'm going to look to the Lord for the purpose he has in me. That's right, old Paul. Go ahead and write the New Testament for us. We're going to need to read it. Because he regarded not the things that was coming into his life. Lord, help us tonight to have faith in God. In the 61st chapter of Isaiah, repeated of the Lord, I think, in the 4th chapter of Luke, he came to set the captives free. Yes. He came to do something special for us, that the opening of the prison doors. Yes. You know, the Lord came that we might be able to destroy the strongholds that in our lives. Yes. The strongholds in people's lives and the giants in people's lives can be the environment that you was raised in. It can be the family you was raised up in. It can be the, what's ingrained into your lives, deeply into your life, the prejudices and the environmental things that's in your life, the ideas and those kind of things. And those can really be the big giants of our life that I just can't get over these kind of things. I see the traits of my family in me. Some of them were so deep in there, and I could understand those. And those are the hardest sometimes for us to just get rid of because they just keep wanting to be there because they're so in there. Yes. But the Lord said, there's a pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You pray for me, I want to be faithful.
Yes.